I'm very happy now to welcome Armand Saia. He's the director of Desert Grows, which is at desertgrows.org. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you.
So
my pleasure.
You're all about local food production, and getting that local food to the people who need it most.
That's true. And I believe that organic and local, locally produced vegetables and all produce should go to all people. I don't think it should be exclusive between because of price. I think that it should get to all people, and that's what we try to do. So we've been started a program to try to support our local growers in Rivera area and the 13 satellite communities, and buy from those farms so that we can bolster their abilities to produce and get that food out. And I've been getting that food out through the food bank system. So instead of getting the commodities that are usually equated with food banks, we're now bringing lots of produce. So the money that's come into Desert Grows has immediately gone out and been translated into fresh produce and gone out through this food bank system, especially the Christ Church in Caruco to start. It will be in Bernal. Will be in Las Vegas at the Methodist Church in Las Vegas on 8th and University, and maybe Via Venitos too here in town. So if we can get enough, we can get enough money to come in, then we can buy this produce and get it out through the system. And you know, nutritional insecurity is something that's very, very under-talked about and under misunderstood. And I think that, you know, when you look at San Miguel County and you see how many people are hungry or the foods that are consumed and the lack of nutrition there, it's staggering.
And people also tend not to make the connection between lack of nutrition and obesity. People are seeking nutrition. They keep stuffing themselves with empty calories and they get fat
and
because they're still not getting
obesity,
the nutrition. Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. It's just... It's a shame. And so in doing that, and by doing that, we are building community, which is huge. So by bringing people in, we've started something called the Cooperative Workforce Network. This is brings volunteers to the farms. Then we are scheduling all of this so that a farmer needs to plant, and he needs 10 hands to do that. So that he can plant without gasoline or any equipment and do it all by hand, then we'll deliver those 10 people, those volunteers, to a farm at a special time and place and get that job done. And then they pay that back by putting hours back into the workforce network. So if there are any volunteers out there that really want to work with Desert Grows, please go to desertgrows.org and look at the website, read up on us, study us, ask us whatever questions you want, and get involved.
So I think there's a lot of people and a lot of young people who are interested in returning to the land, whether it be full-time or part-time, but learning organic farming and learning the whole cycle of food production.
Yes, and this particular area has the best land. It's absolutely magnificent. It is the Pecos Valley. It has been farmed for, I dare to say, 10,000 years. If you get, I'm sure all the anthropologists and archaeologists will, you know, jump on me for that one. But you know, the truth is that every year it gets pushed back further. And people who build houses out of stone aren't running around, you know, chasing animals. They're growing food. And that's what
right.
they were doing there, and it's a beautiful valley, and there are so many opportunities for young growers, and we want to bring them all out there, and that's why we're trying to create this. There are four brand new small farmers markets between Santa Fe and Las Vegas, and this is where we focus all of our energy. We sell all of our stuff there. We've stuck through it from the beginning, through thick and thin, because we believe in building this food network. And
so you can find out at desertgrows.org where those farmers markets are. So if our listeners live,
yes.
say, closer to Pecos than Santa Fe, yep. they can go to those.
Well, I can do it quick. It's El Dorado, Pecos, El Valle, and then the Tri-County Market in Las Vegas. It's you know, that one has been revamped, and it's been there for 80 years, but now we have 36 growers, and I can't even tell you the varieties. I tested 60 varieties of vegetables last year. I'm going to grow artichokes this year. I'm going to grow. Yes, I'm trying a whole bunch of things.
Now, you grow, what, 12 months a year?
4 seasons. And that's a big emphasis, and that's what we're trying to encourage and help people with. So, you know, there are subsidies for all kinds of farm subsidies, but it does not trickle down to these small farms. That's what Desert Grows is about, too. We're trying to help strengthen these farms, and we want them to reach sustainability and grow. And if they can grow, I'm not talking about big production. I'm talking big enough to feed maybe 1,000 people in 4 seasons. If we could do that, just every little teeny farm, we could begin to build a new food network that would be very secure.
Which is very important, because the degradation of soil, the degradation of rivers, of the air, basically of our entire environment, is so dangerous. And, I mean, a lot of individuals are paying attention to it, but on a political level, it's just going on business as usual.
That's true. And organic techniques incorporate using organic materials, all different kinds of poops. We are the poop kings. We love it. You know, we got chicken poop for one thing. We have cow manure for another. We have horse for another. We can use all of these manures and do very, very, very well with soil. And here, a typical acre of New Mexican caliche here takes 20 tons of organic material to bring it to loam status. And that's our intention. That's our goal. Build this soil up. Keep it there. I like fixed beds and low-till or no-till. Okay? I'd like to eliminate all petrofuels from farming, do it all by hand, and be able to feed everybody. And I think we can do it.
Have you calculated how many horses and cows and chickens you need to make 20 tons of poo?
You need a lot, but you know, they have multi-purposes, and they're great friends, too. So, you know, we love our animals.
And that's the idea of the closed-loop farm, where you have the animal poo fertilizing the fields, which in turn plants that feed the animals, and so on.
Yeah, and water and water conservation, all of it, and being able to do that. I'd love to have a fish farm. I'd love to have a tilapia farm, water in, water out into the Pecos, and be able to take that poop out, make the food that we need out of it, and to feed that soil, and to keep our biospheres living so that we can feed those roots. You know, that's another thing about local food. If you're doing it by hand and you're doing it like that, you're getting real food. So there's a slight premium you're paying, but you're paying for something that's incredible, and you're paying for food security.
And you're probably saving that money in vitamin pills.
There you go.
I went to the Alamosa, Colorado alligator farm, the gator farm, and they have closed loop fish tanks. So they've got these round fish tanks with tropical fish swimming in them. There's all kinds of fish swimming in them that they feed to the alligators. The water gets pumped up to these tropical plants that then filter the dirty fish water, and it filters down clean back into the fish tanks. It's completely self-contained.
Yeah. So I'd like to play with those techniques. And that science, and, you know, it's all about science. It's all about doing, this is the other thing. This happened not that long ago. You can go back 60, 70 years ago, and my valley used to feed itself.
Right.
And they used to barter for what they didn't have.
Right.
So someone had chickens, someone had cows, someone grew vegetables, and it all worked out, and everyone had complete diets. This can happen again. So if there are no trucks, if we could no longer truck fight, you can see in any minute something could happen, anywhere.
Another thing that's interesting about it is that you're using science, you're also using low-tech means. So you're doing things by hand, you're having very inexpensive plastic-covered greenhouses.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Things like that.
And that's how you do it. I use no heat, and we use techniques to keep things warm. And we use row covers to cover up. I made it through 20 below zero. I didn't miss a beat. I didn't lose every other greenhouse was killed off.
And how did you do it?
Except mine. I watered the night before to pull the heat up. Then I put row cover laying over all of the plants so that the heat came up and got trapped under the row cover and made a little shield. So the condensation on the row cover made an ice cave that kept everything alive, kept all wind and all wind chill. And so they didn't freeze dry. They didn't, and everyone else is freeze dried because it was just so unusually cold.
And
it was
next
amazing.
Year they'll know how to do it because you figured it out.
Right. Well, we're, you know, and it could have been dumb luck. You know, one never knows. But I'm thrilled with my greenhouses. I have three of them, big ones, and I have bees. And now I have arugula going to flowers. I have tatsoi going to flower. I have the only flowers in the valley, and my bees are feasting. So today we bought weed seed. We bought dandelions and planted them everywhere because they'll be up in 2 weeks. Now I have dandelions everywhere in 2 weeks so that I can feed these bees. So that's my newest strategy. And then I'm putting in 7 acres of buckwheat to feed them.
Now, you are a nonprofit, and you are looking for volunteers, and you have this, as you say, this network of people who help each other. And also, if people want to make donations, the money goes straight to farmers whose food then goes to food pantries. So people who are in the economic crisis not only get to eat, but get to eat really good food.
Yes, and they're thrilled. And it took me weeks to get people to begin to look at these foods, say, oh, we don't eat that, we don't eat that. But we're also doing cooking demonstrations. We're teaching people how to cook things. We're bringing in nutritionists to teach people about why you eat certain things and what it does. We could wipe out type 2 diabetes in San Miguel County, which is the second highest in the state. And in obesity, we can get chi flowing again just by eating these vegetables.
Right.
And that is what we need to do. And people are getting it. I thought it was going to be a tough sell, but it is not. And it's surprisingly successful and right out of the gate. So we're talking about 3 months doing this. And yes, we need money. We need money, and we need money now because we need to keep this going constantly. So money comes in. If people could figure out a way just to give a little every once in a while, we're going to be there. We're going to keep doing this. We're transparent. You can see what we're doing. And I would like to invite everyone to come out
to
visit us. Come out to Ribera. Come out to Infinity Farm. That's my farm. And take a tour. See what we're doing. Feel it for yourself. And then you'll understand what Desert Grows is about.
It's desertgrows.org. Armand Saia is the creator of this wonderful institution. And let's get you back for an update sometime over the summer when the food is growing,
yeah.
Growing big and sweet and delicious. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.